time now for Larry Weber. Good morning.
Good morning. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful September morning.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. 1 week from today, we enter the season of autumn. However, we are getting a very fallish type of week in between. Mm-hmm. The temperatures, we did have some heat this past week, but the temperatures have dropped off considerably. And yesterday, there were places, lots of places, that reported frost. So, yeah, that's moving into the autumn season, as we would might expect. Mm. This forecast for the next week is maybe even chillier, so we'll see what it has to offer. I'm glad to see that. The statistic that bothers me, though, is that we've been so dry.
Yeah.
At the Weather Service in Duluth, there has been less than a quarter of an inch of rain for the whole time. Here we are halfway through the month, less than a quarter of an inch of rain. And normally by this time in September, we'd get about 2 inches. So that has been a real concern. And, of course, there's been fire danger in many places as well. In addition to that, we keep continually having the later sunrises and earlier sunsets. Hitting the equinox, as we will this week, means equal of day and night. And that, of course, ushers in the new season. But the darkness, the longer amount of darkness, has also brought about a lot of migration. It's just been a tremendous week for migration. Wow, I just every day, just this morning as an example, out on a walk here, I saw flocks of blue jays moving on. I saw white-throat sparrows. When they move on, they stop a lot, and they stay in the yard for a while and so forth, but they are moving on. In addition to that, flocks of robins, flocks of flickers, bluebirds, I saw all of those this past week. A number of kinds of birds have been reported at Hawk Ridge. If you get a chance, you and any of the listeners, if you get a chance to get to the Hawk Ridge down in Duluth this weekend, this is a wonderful time for it. This is Hawk Weekend. Well, each of the last 2 days was a report of over 1,000. Yesterday there was pretty good flight of over 3,000. Day before that was over 6,000. And then last Sunday, there was a day of over 16,000. Now, when they fly over in those numbers, by far, most of them are broadwing hawks. And I was at Hawk Ridge yesterday, and I saw some of these flights of the broadwing hawks. Because of the mostly clear skies, they tend to fly very high on those days. And even though there were thousands of them reported, you have to have pretty good binoculars and know where to look and how to look for them to even see them. They're very, very high. Just almost look like a dot. In addition to that, there are plenty of other ones that fly low. So there's always something to see when you go to Hawk Ridge. I highly recommend getting up there sometime between now and the end of the month. We also have geese, sandhill cranes flying over as well. So plenty of migrants that are going by. This is also the time as we get into autumn. I'm not sure exactly what goes on. It's probably the family units, but I hear coyotes every night. They just seem to be whooping it up all the time. And that's just a sign of the season, it seems like. Like I said, it's probably family-related. Other things of note, this is the time when the snakes migrate. Now, we don't think in terms of snakes migrating, but the two kind we have around here, the red belly snake and the garter snake, both spend winter in a underground, in a big opening, a big space they call hibernacula. And apparently they like those places because when they wake up in the spring and go out and travel around in the summer, they pretty much want to come back to the same place.
Hmm.
And so this is the time to see them. And when I do biking at this time of year, I frequently will see snakes crawling across the road. Sometimes they'll stop and bask for a while there and then move on to find a place to spend the winter. So there's that going on as well. And there's other migration. When I was at Hawk Ridge yesterday, in addition to seeing the hawks, I also saw the green darner dragonflies that I mentioned last week. Yeah, they're still migrating across. They are migratory as well. It's a couple of monarchs this week. They are migratory as well. So there's that side going on in addition to all the ones that were already mentioned. This is the time when the wildflowers, the fall wildflowers, start to wane. I saw it especially with goldenrods. this week. Goldenrods are just so fabulous 2 weeks ago. There's many places where they are still in bloom, and there are different species of goldenrod, some of which last longer than the others. But our most common goldenrod, the Canada goldenrod, is starting to wane now, and it's not quite as much blossom as it was before. They take on, after they bloom, they take on a fuzzy kind of seed, and that's starting to happen on many of the roadside goldenrods, the same way with the sunflowers. However, many of the asters continue, and that's why a lot of people are more likely to consider asters as a true fall flower. But they've been blooming in still really good numbers. But when it comes to colors right now, it is mostly the trees that steal the show. You know, we have lots of yellow. The yellow comes from a pigment called xanthophyll. That xanthophyll is in the tree, is in the leaves all summer, but we don't see it because of the chlorophyll. Well, with the shorter days, the trees no longer need as much chlorophyll, so they break up and withdraw the chlorophyll, and therefore the yellow, the xanthophyll, shows up, and that's why it's much more common than the reds. And you'll see xanthophyll in dozens of kinds of trees. I can easily sit here in my yard right now and see that most every direction I look, I'll see yellow. Reds, on the other hand, is another pigment, anthocyanin, and that is made from excess sugars, and that takes place only in some trees, and I find that it has to be out in the sunlight. I'm looking right now at a red maple that gets plenty of sunlight, and therefore it's bright red. Mm. Some of the red oaks will do the same thing, and then sumac and dogwood, Virginia creeper, they're the ones that are most likely cherry. Those are the ones that are most likely to turn red. But when it comes to reds, they are far outnumbered by the yellows. I had a bit of a surprise 2 days ago when I was driving on a road near here, and I saw several tamaracks that were already gold. That's something I expect more in October, but perhaps that's going to be an early this year as well. Lots and lots of apples. I did much apple picking this week, and in any time that happens, then their wild cousin, the crab apples, the hawthorns, they're going to be ripe as well, and there's a lot of that out here, too. Plenty of other berries from mountain ash and high bush cranberry, sumac, they're all looking good, and they're all red berries. The disappointment that we have is due to the dryness. We don't have as much mushrooms at this time as we usually do. I had two classes last week on mushrooms, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, and both times we were able to find mushrooms, but nothing in the numbers that we normally have. I'm a little disappointed in that, but nevertheless, if we do get rain, and there's rain in the forecast, there's still enough time for them to come out. One of the ones we did find was a big cluster known as honey mushrooms. These clusters may be 50 or more all growing together, and they grow at base of trees. And even though they're called honey mushrooms, there are those who eat them, and they say they don't taste anything like honey. The name, however, refers to sort of what they look like. So there is stuff out here, and I would suggest anybody, if you can, get out and take a walk this weekend. It's just superb. So have a good weekend.
Thank you, Larry. Talk to you next Saturday. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. That was Larry Weber, who joins us every Saturday morning right around 9:30 to give us the latest on what's going on out in the wilderness and outdoors. He is a retired high school science teacher, twice named Science Teacher of the Year. He lives in Carleton County with his wife on an old farm, and like I said, joins us here on the radio. He photographs and writes about critters, and you can find three books that he's published. Butterflies of the Northern Woods, Spiders of the Northern Woods, and as you might guess, Fungi of the Northern Woods. He's a mushroom lover, that guy.